From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. No country in the world has been harder hit by the AIDS epidemic than South Africa. About 5 million South Africans are living with HIV. The rate of infection is growing fastest among girls and women between the ages of 16 and 25. Tembi Ngubane is one of them. She lives in the township of Khayelitsha outside of Cape Town. It's one of South Africa's largest shanty towns, a sprawl of houses and shacks made of wood planks, tar paper, and sheets of tin. Tembi was 19 when she first met radio producer Joe Richman. He gave her a tape recorder, and for the past year, she's been keeping an audio diary of her life. This is Tembi's story.
Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Test, test, test. Okay. Hi, this is Tembi. It's time for my prayer. Every morning when I wake up, I'll run off to my drawer, take out the mirror, and look at myself. I say, hello, HIV, you trespasser. You are in my body. You have to obey the rules. You have to respect me. And if you don't hurt me, I won't hurt you. You mind your business, I'll mind mine. Then I'll give you your ticket when your time comes. I never thought I would ever worry about HIV and AIDS. It was the last thing in my mind. Okay, right now I'm at the doctor's office. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm feeling great.
You're feeling great? No
yeah.
problem.
I'm fine, no problem.
Okay, let me just take your weight.
Okay. I've known that I'm HIV positive for 2 years. I'm considered stage 4. When you're on stage 4, you are not HIV positive anymore. They say you've got AIDS.
I see your CD4 count. You know what it is, huh? CD4 is an indication of how good your immune system still is.
Yes, I know.
It was 167 in March of this year.
Yes.
Yes. You know it's going down all the time.
Yes. Yeah?
And when you are below 200, it's dangerous for you.
Yes, I know. I was very surprised to know that my CD4 count was below 200, was 167, and at the same time, I've never been sick.
You are very much at risk of getting sick. It's a bit like swimming in a lake where you have crocodiles, yeah? You can swim sometime without getting bitten, but if you stay swimming a long time, at some point, you're gonna get bitten.
Okay, understand.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna tell you how I was infected. I had this boyfriend and then we broke up. I went my own way, he went his way. A year later, I heard that he had died. When I went to his house, his family was gathered there. I said, what happened? Was he shot or was he stabbed? So his sister told me, no, he was sick. I said, what? She said he was very thin and he couldn't talk. Then all of a sudden, he just lost a lot of weight. Then I asked her, what if he had AIDS? She said, I don't know. That's when I started to get very worried. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go for a test. I went to the clinic. They bring all the equipment in front of me and just prick me on my finger. Then 10 minutes passes by, the counselor came back. They say, we need to have another one. He started to do another one and another one. They did all my 5 fingers. Then I started to worry because I thought, hey, why is he testing me like 5 times? Then he said, okay, now it's time for your report. He said, you know, when your blood looks like this, it means you have the virus. You are HIV positive. And you've been HIV positive for many years. I just stared at him. I said, okay.
And now I'm at home. Oh, hi. So, this is Melikai, my boyfriend. Say hi.
Hi.
I was telling him how cute you look. My boyfriend's name is Melikai. We live together. We've been together for 2 years. Okay, play. And Melikai is obsessed with music.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome, Melikai, let's dance. We are very close. Everyone knows we are very close. If they see Melikai, they see me. We are always together. He met me and I met him, and that was it. I remember when I find out about my HIV status, it was very painful to tell him. I thought, hey, what if I've also infected him? Now I've ruined my life and I've ruined everybody's life. Melikai.
Yeah.
Do you ever wish that maybe you have never met me?
No. Just because the only thing is that I love you. You know that.
Yes. But I'm the one who's infected you.
I don't want to blame you. You didn't chase after AIDS. You didn't go in top of the mountain and said you want to have AIDS, you know? And I don't want you to blame yourself. Just be strong.
Okay. For me, what scares me most is that I think we are not going to die at the same time if we die.
I know that you think if you die first, I'm going to have another girlfriend.
No, I'm not thinking you must die first. No, I'm not thinking you must die first. Really, I'm thinking that if one of us dies, you, how would it be? At least if we were going to die at the same time.
Give me a kiss for that.
Hi Timbi, my name is Dr. Abrams. How are you doing?
I have these pains here and my neck and head.
I'm just going to take your blood, all right? I'm just going to examine you now for any other signs of any other opportunistic infections. I'm just opening your mouth, I'm looking for thrush in the tongue, which isn't. Okay, and now I'm just going to have a listen to a chest. So you can hear it's more dull on the right hand side. Fluid in the lungs, covering the whole lung. Okay, you can sit on the bed. You're very thin, very short of breath. You need to be on antiretrovirals.
Okay.
You do need the ARVs to bring up your CD4 count and to bring down the virus. Alright.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. This is Tembi again. It's been a few months since I've been talking to you. The reason that I didn't record was that I didn't want to hear my sick voice. I didn't want people to see me like this and hear me like this. I couldn't even look in the mirror. The way that I looked, my face was sort of becoming bones, you see, and dark. And my eyes were kind of big. And I was shaking. I couldn't walk. All the things that were happening, I thought they would never happen to me. And my boyfriend Melikai, he was very, very worried. He would plead me to go to the hospital. I just wouldn't want to go. I was afraid of the way people were going to look at me. People would stare. They start to point, look at her, she's so small. I just wanted to sit home and hide myself in the bed. Then my mother showed up. When she came into the house, she kind of stared at me. Because the last time she saw me, I was fine. And now I'm thin like this. Then she said, "Nana, mountenu nje." And that means, "My child, why are you like this?" I just looked into her eyes. She was very afraid. And I just look at her and I said, "I don't think I'm going to live for long." And she said, "Okay, don't worry, I'm going to take you to the hospital." Then she put me on her back and she took me to the hospital. Oh, hold on a minute. This is Tembi again. That was my cell phone alarm. It does that every day at 9 a.m. and at 9 p.m. When it rings, I take my ARVs. I'm very lucky to be in a community that supplies ARVs because in some areas they are not available. ARV stands for antiretrovirals. Antiretrovirals are medicines that help to fight the virus. You must take them the rest of your life. Okay. I swallow them. That's it. I wish I didn't have to drink these. It's been about a month now since I've started ARVs. In 2 weeks' time, I could walk and breathe and do things. So when I look back, I think it was some kind of a miracle or something. Let me see outside what the day looks like. I'll show you around my neighborhood. So it's a bright, beautiful day. People are all out. They're starting to wash their laundries, putting them on the line. Music is coming from every house. I just love it today. My neighborhood is very crowded. Mostly people live in shacks. There's this shack behind the shack, or there's this house behind the house, there's a shack behind the shack, there's another shack. A lot of people. Molo. And now here's my friend. Okay, she's going to the shop. See you later. Bye bye. Nokzola is one of my friends. She lives nearby. She was diagnosed HIV positive in 1999. She has two daughters. There are a lot of us here in Kalisha who are sick, but the people don't disclose because they are scared of discrimination. People do talk, do point, people do whisper. And sometimes if they hear that someone is HIV, they burn your house down so that you can't stay there anymore. In the past, our parents were suffering from apartheid. They wanted to be free. And now it is the same with HIV and AIDS. This is the new struggle. Knock, knock. Right now, I'm at my mother's house. Hello, everyone. This is my mother.
Hello.
Hi, Honorable. I'm back. Well, I have to tell you something now that will come to you as a surprise. My boyfriend Milka and I have a baby. This is Onwabo. She's almost 1 year old. She's got many toys. And this one is her favorite. It makes a sound like this. I know what people might be thinking, but Onwabo is fine. We gave a drug called AZT when I was in labor. She's been tested and she's HIV negative. Isn't that true, Onwabo?
She says, yes, it's true. I didn't want people to know that I was pregnant. What I thought was I didn't have the right to have a baby. I thought maybe if I had a baby, maybe in hospital they are going to arrest me. Sometimes I think maybe it was not a right thing to do. But I just wanted it so bad. Do you understand why I wanted to have a baby?
My daughter, I did understand. But can you explain to me?
Okay, I felt like I needed to have something that I can live for. Something that I can call my own.
Oh, you didn't care you have me.
No, you are old. And you are not mine, you are your mother's baby. So I wanted my own. The way that I care about Onwabo and the way that I love her, it makes me think about how my mother feels about me. My mother has clothed me, fed me, raised me, and now, at the end of the day, she must also bury me. I was supposed to be the one that was going to look after her. She had put me on her back when I was young. Now that I'm old, she must also again put me on her back. That is not right. My parents don't live together. They live in different townships, but not far. My father is kind of an old-fashioned person. It's like to him, I'm this child. He really adores me. But my dad doesn't know that I have AIDS. I haven't told him. I felt like I could tell the whole world, but not him. And now I feel like I've been hiding so long, I just have to tell him. Because he's my father. I just want him to hear it from me.
Okay.
Here we are at my dad's house, and it's raining a lot. Okay. My father's shack, the roof is made with tins. You can hear because the rain sounds so loud. He has just asked me whether I'm going back to school. Yes, I'm going to go to school next year.
Okay.
Okay. Dad?
Yes.
Before, in the past, there was no epidemic like AIDS, and now people are suffering from it. So how do you and the other old people think about it?
Okay. It's hard for us, we old people. You grow the kid up now. Tomorrow, the kid is dead. You see, that's why I get angry of this disease. There was no problem before, but now it becomes a big problem. Jesus.
Okay, I have news that I have to tell you. I was trying to tell you, but I just couldn't. Yeah, I just couldn't. But I don't want you to feel like I'm hiding some things from you. You see.
Okay, my kid.
Okay, 3 years ago, I was discovered HIV positive. I have AIDS.
No, man.
But everything is under control. I am on ARVs. My health is fine. I'm going to the good doctors. So I don't need you to worry about anything. No. Yeah, don't need you to worry. Just for you to know. Because it has been kept a secret for a long time.
Okay.
I felt like I have disappointed you. I thought that it was going to break you into pieces. Mm-hmm. You see? How do you feel?
I feel bad, you see. But what can I do? I have to accept it. What can I do? Okay, my kid.
Okay. My mother always said that we must be tough. Even if you are feeling hurt inside, you must not always be jelly belly, cry. Telling my dad was one of the hardest things that I've ever done. But I didn't want to cry. He must see just a tough face. I just wanted him to see that I was not afraid and that I'm going to be okay. Right now I'm making a bottle for Onwabo. This is her sucking the bottle. Okay, now it's almost 10:30 at night and we are preparing ourselves for a sleep. Good night. Where is the other blanket? She's already asleep. Milka is already in bed. As always, I'm the last person to sleep. Oh. I'm just imagining what this world would be like without me. I'm not scared of dying, but I'm scared of not being here, leaving my baby behind. I just want enough time to see her grow a little bigger.
You are awake now.
AIDS is not going to bring me down. I am the one who's got hands and feet and mind, and it's only something that is inside my blood. So it will try to rule maybe inside, but outside I'll be the boss. I want to study further, I want to have a great job. There are a lot of things that I want to get done. I'm just going on with my life. I'm just going on with my life. Kubi, 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 bo, siafa.
Tembi Ngubane's story was produced by Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. The editors were Deborah George and Ben Shapiro.
Tembi shares her thoughts on keeping an audio diary in an interview at our website, npr.org. You can also find out where you can hear her speak during her tour of the U.S.